We're live. I don't know what the song is, but it's
Green Onions.
That's who?
Booker T and the MGs.
And if
Green Onions?
Green Onions. And if I say this to Greg, you play ball like a girl.
Of course, we're talking. I do, actually. But we're talking about the Sandlot. Of course, when yes. Joseph and myself are little guys, it's probably your favorite. Even though you're not a sports fan, probably one of your favorite.
Definitely, because Sandlot is another one of those movies. It's not a sports movie. It's a movie about growing up.
Dave's mic needs to be shut off immediately.
No,
it is. It's fantastic.
You actually have the button right in front of you there, Greg.
Oh, I do.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's all right.
But you don't know which one.
I do.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
But yes, Sandlot, definitely one of the best baseball movies. Yeah, with a dog.
Yeah, good dog. Good doggy.
James
and
Earl Jones.
This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. And I'm not Joseph Erdo. You are.
Thank goodness.
And you're going to say you're not.
And you're not Dave Isaac.
No, I am.
Wait. I'm confused.
And Greg is Greg.
Greg
Isaac.
Is Eric Reinert.
And Eric Reinert is Eric
Trisha.
Reinert is Trisha.
Is this Freaky
San
Friday?
Diego. No. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun, the exchange.
Freaky
and then
Saturday.
I could do some bar crawls.
Yeah.
But but you know, if I exchange with you, though, then they would say, wow, you do know what second base is, don't you?
I don't think Trisha would be too happy about that.
Dave might even get a home run.
Yeah, Dave would probably get a home run.
No, if I was you, I'm saying.
If I was you? That's a new
movie coming out. I could increase your reputation, young man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with with being myself. You know, I've mentioned the TV show Mixology before, and there's only one episode left, by the way, Mixology.
Aww.
ABC, Wednesday night. So this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. is the series finale of Mixology. They only made 13 episodes, and it's one of the best shows after How I Met Your Mother, of course.
I'll tell you what, Joseph. If we got a camera on you, as long as you don't sing.
Yes. Why? I sing at the bar crawls. Trust me. I do.
Ooh, I want to go.
Well, maybe not that. No, I'm kidding. But
do you do karaoke?
I haven't lately.
That's okay to do karaoke. But because of how you described, and I won't mention it on air, but some of your endeavors, how they go, you would get tons and tons of more action just off that. Because when you see movies and you have the nice guy, but you know they're respectable, they get that.
Exactly.
Later on, and that's what will happen, but we've got to get that out there so they see this.
My one friend who keeps texting me that he has no idea what happened at the last stop at the bar crawl last night.
Well, actually, I know. We have.
By the way, what's his name?
I can't say his name. We've said it before, and he said no. He did not like
that. We're talking about a dinosaur movie later.
Yeah, but...
Go ahead.
But he wants me to be this guy that, you know, brings home all the ladies and everything. But I am so much more than that. I am the ladies' man. All the women are all around me. I have just so many amazing friends. All these women want to be with me.
There you go.
And they can't.
As a friend.
I love it.
No, they were all
They want to take that
now
next
you said
step.
I like
they
you
can.
As a friend, Joseph.
No, they never. I've never gotten that.
Why? Why you
we'll
say they can't?
We'll have to analyze this closely.
You said that they all want you, but they can't.
Because I'm the nice guy.
Joseph has to be there for his son, Frozen.
I agree.
Yes, exactly. I mentioned Mixology because I am like Tom on that show. Tom is the nice guy. And
I haven't seen
but
I will.
He's looking for, you know, he's like Ted on How I Met Your Mother, not Barney. Because there's a big difference between Ted and Barney.
There is.
I'm much more Ted than Barney. I'm fun. Mm-hmm. You know, not like Ted. I'm more fun than Ted.
You're looking to have fun and eventually sort of meet maybe the right girl type of thing rather than... Barney, who goes in and out, in and out, in and out.
I love that hamburger. It's what hamburger's all about.
I don't care for that one. No,
really,
for that one.
So, okay, so on behalf of Joseph, what he's saying to you gals out there, be unique, be incredible, and perhaps that he will accept you and his hand in marriage. But you have to be very special, great values, morals, and you know, if you're a millionaire, it doesn't matter.
Marriage.
You what? Wow.
Yeah.
And now,
I told Dave this morning he might be one of the most gullible people we've ever come across.
No, I'm most interesting man in the world.
You left out one of the
most... And he also says the same jokes over.
You left out the most important part. You have to like ducks.
And frozen ones, too.
Because he actually reads.
Well, and this one girl, even though she ate duck fat, she still respected the fact that I had a duck, and she thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. Not all the ladies
Has any lady met your duck
yet? As I found out. No, nobody. No,
so when
you
they
have
do,
to, you have to be completely approved by me before you can be approved by Frozen.
And then Frozen still may not approve the lady.
Exactly,
I
and
have
then
a
you're out. No, see, you're out. I will never date you, Eric.
Thank you. I'm taken.
I'm so
thought
sorry.
It was love.
Well,
at first sight.
I know. Well, let's get back to the
where
back
were
to the
we
baseball
chosen?
Game here.
Okay.
All right, so let's see. Who's at the bat?
I forgot.
Oh, we're the entertainment show. I forgot.
You're at bat. I'm at second base. Are you going to bunt me over to third, please?
Bunt you? I like bunt cakes. You ever had nothing
now
bunt cakes?
Now you sound like me, for God's sakes.
Nothing bunt cakes.
That is annoying. You're
they
right.
give you a free. They give you a free mini bunt on your birthday.
Finally. Thank you, Joseph. It worked.
Yeah, fist bump. Yes. Woo-woo. All right. Well, anyway, of course, we're talking about baseball movies today, all in honor of
Godzilla.
Million Dollar Arm. Mm-hmm. Come on, let me get there.
Oh, yeah.
But there are other movies coming out. One is pretty explosive.
What's that?
Godzilla.
Oh,
see, this would have worked better if you didn't just...
Godzilla
was
a tremendous baseball player.
You ruined his
right.
little segue there.
Oh, sorry. I ruined the punchline.
The show's ruined, Dave.
Oh, it's all over.
It's over.
You.
Ugh. You.
Yes. Well, anyway...
No, I do the you.
Oh. Okay.
Are you a cop? I'm not a cop. Are you a cop? Godzilla.
Step away from the vehicle.
It is a remake of the movie.
No.
That is.
Godzilla?
Yeah, we're talking
Godzilla.
I thought
we were talking about Dan Fogler.
No. Well, Dan Fogler.
Are we
going to
do Don Peyote?
No, later. Later.
We're all on Peyote.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Anyway, let's talk about Godzilla.
I don't even know what that is.
He's flying.
Godzilla. How old is Godzilla, by the way?
He's pretty damn old.
I think it is.
What?
The 50s.
Well, what, how?
I think it was like 19. Oh, how old is he?
Yes, it's a big anniversary for him. It was a contest that we
70.
Well, what do you mean? You mean in the movie? How old is 60. He supposed to be?
Yeah, how old is the movie?
Oh, it was like 1955.
You're close.
56.
54.
No, 54, which makes it
60.
60 years old.
Yes.
That was a trivia.
So he's getting up
people,
there.
Our listeners got
getting somewhat
tickets
close
to see
to
the movie.
Dave.
Kind of somewhat close to Dave.
Yeah. You
got another 60 years.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Godzilla. Well, we're gonna get
Dave
to the Godzilla.
Godzilla, everything he knows.
The world's most famous monster is pitted against malevolent creatures who, bolstered by humanity's scientific arrogance, threaten our very existence. Kind of a vague description there of Godzilla, but we all know what Godzilla is. It's a giant lizard that terrorizes Japan, terrorizes in this movie.
The U.S.
Yeah, the U.S., including Las Vegas. I know. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. But first, I do want to mention this in the movie, and you know this. We don't hear the word Godzilla for about 45 minutes. And the first time we hear it, the one actor, Ken Watanabe, or however
Watanabe.
You say it. Yeah, Watanabe.
Watanabe.
Thank you very much. He says, and we call him Godzilla.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, that's exact. And then everyone in the theater laughed. And then he said it again.
And his name was Dr. Ichiro?
Yeah. Yes, Ichiro. I got an Ichiro on my back, if you help me.
Well, we're talking about a baseball show. Yeah.
Ichiro.
Oh, yeah, they're good at any restaurant.
Oh, they. You know that.
You haven't had an Ichiro?
Oh, God.
All right. Well, anyway.
That's footage of Dave from yesterday.
All right, Dave?
And that's when I woke up this morning.
Yeah,
that's how a stomach sounds after he has all his popcorn.
Wow, yeah. Well, anyway, I thought it was funny the way that they said that.
Ichiro,
that too, but Godzilla. No,
Ichiro.
He did the whole pause, and then everyone in the theater laughed, and then he said it the exact same way again, like a minute after that. He goes, and so we must track Godzilla. Right? You know because you saw the movie.
I saw the movie.
I have no idea.
I didn't even fall
great.
Asleep. Fall asleep.
Well, do you want to hear my thoughts or do you want to hear your thoughts?
I want to hear my thoughts.
You want to hear
no,
your
I
thoughts?
I think we got to hear Joseph's thoughts.
You're going to like my thoughts.
No, because I know your thoughts, so I think you should let Joseph.
No, I'm going to do it real quick, my thoughts.
Let's hear Dave's thoughts on Godzilla.
The opening was great. I thought it was a great opening. Sad, but great. And then it slowed down. Then it picked up some action. Then
this sounds like a story of my
then it
life.
it became completely, completely stupid. It was the dumbest movie I've ever seen. Bad acting, worse.
Ever?
What? Horrible.
What?
Wasn't believable. Bad music.
It's a giant lizard, Dave.
How believable
could that be?
I don't even know what the end meant. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. A horrible, horrible movie.
A horrible movie?
I didn't fall asleep.
Are you giving it a thumbs up?
Are you kidding me? It's a thumb, I won't say, but it's a thumbs down.
Wow. It's a thumbs down?
It was horrible acting. It was just, it was completely stupid.
You do know what I'm talking about, the whole Godzilla.
Godzilla, yes!
But they do that on purpose, though. You got to remember, Ken Watanabe is actually a great actor from Batman Begins.
It was just, I know.
I think you probably agree with me.
They're doing it to be goofy. I didn't see the movie.
Oh, I don't think they did.
But that sounds like something I'd be laughing.
Well, people did laugh,
over.
So it might have been intentional, so I do
appreciate
it.
I think it was.
But, uh-oh.
Oh.
Oh, he's coming to get me, right?
Wow.
Oh, no.
You've made him very angry.
Oh, no. Here he comes.
Oh, you know what? My coffee here, they've got the rings. Oh, actually, that's Jurassic Park. That's something. Yeah. Okay. That's
well, it did remind me of Indiana Jones in the beginning, Jurassic Park. I thought it was going to start pretty cool about that, but then it completely fell apart.
Well, you've got
some great
actors in the movie as well. In addition to Ken Watanabe, you've also got Bryan Cranston from
Breaking Bad,
of course. And
Malcolm in the Middle.
Right, and Malcolm in the Middle. I don't think
the acting was good.
You don't think so?
At all.
Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Nope. Don't know who he is, but if he was in that movie,
Kick-Ass.
Really bad, though.
And how about Elizabeth Olsen? Yeah, he does.
Some of the extras did pretty good.
Elizabeth Olsen. Come on, I've interviewed her.
The cute girl, the wife?
The cute girl, the wife.
She was cute. So-so.
Wow.
I think she got the part that was dealt with her. It's just terrible. I'm going to have to ask you off the air what I think the ending.
Dave's not the professional film columnist here.
Right. Well, and
so
as I give my thoughts. Yeah, I will give my thoughts, but if
Dave's
anyone.
Opinion we'll take with a grain of salt.
If anyone has seen Godzilla, give us a call 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480.
And tell us what you think of Godzilla. If I'm right or Joseph's right.
Yes, tell us what you think, because you know what? I agree that the beginning is very, very slow. I mean, it you got 45 minutes before you hear the word Godzilla. Jinx.
Do you see Godzilla before that?
No, you don't see. You see really. Other creatures. You see, what are they called?
Mothra?
There was a boy creature and a lady creature, and they got together.
Pikachu?
That was the best scene. I didn't know how they did it.
It's pretty much Pikachu. One of them flies and one of them doesn't.
It was weird, though.
They got a mating call. And
yeah,
they
it was a mating.
They wanted to mate, and there's eggs involved. Usually that's what happens. And so Godzilla has to stop these two from mating, because that would be terrible if these two just, like, these giant monsters.
Yeah,
these,
I don't know
they
how he
the
knew.
Eggs hatched?
He was watching for a while. Peeping Godzilla.
Godzilla's a pretty smart guy.
Godzilla voyeur.
That's a sequel, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. We don't see.
That's not really his tail that you see sticking out.
Well, and that's the thing. We don't even see. Wow. We
not
don't
really,
see any part of Godzilla for an entire hour in the movie, and then it takes another half an hour before we actually see the full Godzilla.
The full Godzilla.
Full blown Godzilla.
Yeah. Out of the water. Into the wherever.
Yeah.
It's
so,
horrible, though.
Well, yeah, I was very bored with the first hour of the movie. But the final 30-minute grand finale, during which very little dialogue is spoken, is spectacular. I'm giving it a thumbs up. How could you not give a thumbs up to Godzilla?
It was horrible.
Come on, there's no dialogue in this grand finale. All it is
flying creature that's trying to mate with this girlfriend is fighting with the Godzilla?
That's what Godzilla is, though. But see, it's great because then you got Aaron Taylor Johnson, who goes and I don't want to spoil it,
so
but
you're
he does
Godzilla
something.
Godzilla is a horny lizard. He's just trying to mate this whole time.
Horny toad.
So he doesn't really looking to destroy.
No, he
people.
Doesn't want to.
He just wants
the other monsters. The other monsters. He just doesn't want anyone else to mate.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's kind of like some of my friends.
Yeah, but he prevented a lot of mating in New York City.
Call him a blob.
And Las Vegas when he had his loud sound.
Yes.
Everyone was running. How do you mate when you run? Tell me that.
How do you? That's how
See?
You
would you? What would you do, Eric, if you're, you know, have a romantic evening and you hear a sound like that?
I run.
So you're trying to say That's one of these saying. Other monsters was going after Godzilla's girlfriend? Or something
no,
like
there's only one giant lizard.
Godzilla was going.
Who are these other guys?
Exactly.
I can't remember the names.
Just go watch the movie.
Motur or something like that.
Motur and Moturus.
Something like that. I don't know. They stand for like some sort of. I don't remember.
We don't even know where they came from.
Muto.
Yeah, Mutu and Moturus.
No, it was just Muto.
One or
two. M-U-T-O.
Mutu 1 and Mutu 2?
Yes.
Mutu.
Because it was an...
it's Mutu and Mutu 2.
Something unidentified terrestrial organism, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or what?
Massive.
Organ, what?
All right. So you want me to repeat things. But anyway, yes, I did like Godzilla. Not a whole lot, because I completely agree. There's way too much talk in this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, if they would just shut their mouths, this would have been an excellent movie. But there was way too much talking, way too much buildup for just, you know. But the grand finale, again, it was explosive. There was great special effects. Can you not say that Godzilla was amazing?
It was interesting special effects, but I've seen better, much better.
Which one was better, the Matthew Broderick version or this one?
Okay, Matthew.
Here's the next
Matthew
thing that I wanted to talk about.
By far.
Everyone hates the Matthew Broderick version.
I like
it. Don't.
Except for you and me. I love the Matthew Broderick version.
I call it the Jean Reno version.
Yeah, I loved
actually.
It too. It had some meaning to it. This was the dumbest thing. This was like the natural evolution of what they thought.
Because the director of this Godzilla directed another movie called Monsters. A few years ago. It was an indie film. It was very, very good. But it basically played up the same idea that, I mean, it was these giant monsters, and you never really see them. You just kind of like see their feet and stuff like that.
Oh.
But that is an independent movie. This is a summer blockbuster. We want to see all the action. We don't want to sit there for an hour waiting while people go into war room talk conversations.
Well, that's why it's partly a thumbs down.
But the Matthew Broderick version was terrific. Because
I thought
it had comedy, right?
Yep.
I mean, it had action. I thought the Godzilla was
great. The only comedy here is when the guy repeated Godzilla two times. That's only funny line. Godzilla.
Yeah, yes.
What's so funny about that?
But that could have saved the movie with how funny it sounds. Yeah.
Right. And so.
Well, off there, when I tell Greg something, he's going to agree with me.
Well, the Matthew Broderick version has so much hate against it, and I just have to say that definitely watch that version. Mm. My dad was watching it the other day. I don't think he gave it a chance, so he's got to go back and watch the entire version from it was like 98. And you know what? We might like it, Greg and myself, because we grew up on that Godzilla.
On steroids.
And we grew up on, Jurassic Park. It's a lot closer to Jurassic Park than this Godzilla.
That's how it was set up to be, but it didn't reach
Well, this one wasn't.
Even
this
close.
One wasn't like Jurassic Park because it had no comedy. And it was just boring.
Exactly.
But
Thank
I am
you.
Still giving it a thumbs up because I did like the ending, and especially a scene where
I am. I love
Don Peyote.
I love the ending, Joseph. I also love the ending because it ended.
Oh wow!
Nice.
Okay. Yes. Did you see it in IMAX, by the way?
No.
I saw it in IMAX 3D, and they, that little IMAX thing that starts us off and says, don't watch the movie, live it, or whatever, be part of it.
Oh,
They
no
converted
wonder.
That. You can see this on YouTube, but they converted that where it's got, like, the stomping sound, and then, of course, you got the big...
That was
not very good.
Godzilla.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But, so I am giving Godzilla a thumbs up. I keep trying to say this. Aaron Taylor Johnson at one point in the movie, near the end, during, he's not talking, he does something to one of the monsters, and the monster gets up, looks at him like, how did you just do that? And I hate you. It's pretty funny to see
actually,
a monster.
The monster was saying, you're the guy from Kick-Ass?
It looks pretty funny to see a monster. It looks pretty funny to see a monster, look at some guy like, I hate you
Not
right
really.
Now. How dare you?
No, there's a reason for that we can't say, though.
I know. We don't want to spoil that.
No, it's a natural instinct among those type of situations.
What is going on? We're on Breakthrough Entertainment, our baseball show, and we're talking about lizards now.
Yeah, that was not a home run, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Well,
do not see this movie.
Well, you give it a thumbs down. Very, very strong thumbs down.
Very strong.
I am giving Godzilla a mild thumbs up.
Okay, so we're close.
We're not close. No, we're not close. But in the meantime,
mild thumbs up and worst movie ever.
Yeah,
not worst
close.
Movie ever.
Pretty close, right? No,
no. The first Godzilla was the first movie. No kidding, Godzilla. Right. Although I like to say Godzilla.
Well, in our next segment, we've got another guest calling in, actress Kelly Grayson from Return to the Hiding Place. But let's get back to our baseball theme here and play a song into this break. Angels in the Outfield is a movie starring
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, this is a
Matthew
good song.
McConaughey.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Glover. Great movie.
Yes. And Christopher Lloyd as well. Yeah. Hippie Shakes, Swinging Blue Jeans, and I want to say two things. One, the scene of this, they were all trying to get the ball.
The baseball,
because the Angels made the ball go all crazy.
They were kicking it around and stuff.
Hippie Shakes.
And Hippie Shakes, this would be a great twerking song.
Yeah? What other movie was this in?
Twerky Shakes.
What other movies? A lot of movies. This is an older song, Dave.
Yeah.
You were, I think, about in your
Just
40s a, when
no,
the song
70s.
Was popular.
I'm
you were
the most
in your 70s when
man
when,
in the world.
How old are you?
I'm not saying. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
So many nights I've pondered, love that's come and wandered. Baby, I ain't gotta do that no more. Walking in the tired places, find the same old lonesome faces. Baby, I ain't gotta do that no more. You came in and took your place.
Now, this sounds like a country western song, Joseph Erdo. I'm Dave Isaac, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt in the studio. What is this song that I'm trying to talk about?
Well, the song is called Baby, I Ain't Gotta Do That. No more.
Is this from The Rookie?
It is from The Rookie. Yes. How'd you know that?
I like the Rookie. I don't like the song. I can't stand country music.
Paul Birch and the WPA Ball Club.
I want to sing it.
But that was a good movie. And again, that's more Disney stuff right there. And Dennis Quaid, of course.
And we do have our Western show coming up
in a few weeks.
2 weeks, I think, from now.
Yeah?
Our Western show, all in honor of 1 million ways
to die.
Are we going to get Faith Hill on or
Faith Hill?
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. Can we get Reba McEntire?
Yeah.
How about Mel Gibson?
No.
What the hell?
Mel Gibson. Why Mel Gibson?
Because he was in Maverick.
He was in who?
Maverick.
Oh, Maverick.
Yeah, you didn't like Maverick.
I don't think Mel has done too much lately.
He'll come after.
What was that
three
movie? He was in a Mexican prison.
Oh yeah, Get the Gringo.
That was good.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Apocalypto. I really liked Apocalypto.
But again, I still love.
He wasn't in that.
Right, but he directed.
He directed.
It, right?
Yeah. I didn't see that. I did like the Lethal Weapon franchise, so you can't go wrong with any of those.
Joe Pesci, love him.
Yeah, he was great. I was going to say something, but then Dave's voice came out and distracted me.
Was it about The Rookie?
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't about
But
The
that was, again, a great
Your eyes are getting heavy.
All right. No, really, Dave, you changed the subject so much, we forget what we're going to say.
Well, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's baseball show.
So
we're playing music from all these different baseball-themed movies. Because I gave a nice big thumbs up, unlike Godzilla, which got a mild thumbs up. Mm-hmm. You know, and Dave gave it a worst movie he's ever seen in his entire life.
Not worst movie, just
you did say that at first.
You did say that.
I want to hear the replay.
Well, no, we don't have time for that.
You said worst movie ever.
No.
Yeah, you did.
You said that.
Here's the replay, but not the worst movie ever. That's what Dave said.
Dave.
Dave said it like that, too. That was exactly what
I said. I didn't say what's the movie.
What?
On my foot.
Where was I anyway? Not but bad. Anyway, I was trying to get to that. A big thumbs up for Million Dollar Arm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Definitely go see that one. That's what we're kind of celebrating today. And but yeah, there's a lot of other movies coming out, and so we'll be telling you all about those as well. And but here in a moment, I think we will have on our next guest, actress Kelly Grayson. The movie's called Return to the Hiding Place, and it comes out next week, week on the 23rd. And so while we get her on the line here, while our excellent producer Eric Reinhardt gets her on the producer,
Reinhardt,
let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film. In it, Kelly Grayson plays a tough-minded young member of a resistance army that fights to save the lives of the innocent when the Nazis begin killing Jews in Holland. Again, it opens Friday, May 23rd. She was also in this another film that had some controversy around the Oscars. I think its song was nominated, and I think that's also going to be releasing here in the Valley. So we'll have to ask her about that film and see if she knows anything about that one. But it's Return to the Hiding Place, right?
Yes, I saw the trailer.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting film, right?
It did. It looked really great, actually. It looked like a great film, a film about sacrifice and courage. And, again, I didn't see the film, but I took it from the trailer. And that's a film I'm sure I'd really, really like.
Yeah. So, a lot of great movies coming out, and we're going to tell you all about them here on Breakthrough Entertainment. And so, I don't know, are you looking forward to anything in particular, Dave?
Yeah, when Godzilla gets out of the theaters and lets something else come in.
I used to say that the worst movie ever.
No, not the worst movie.
I do want to mention that. That's what I was thinking of, because I got a text from my colleague over at AZ Weekly, Stan Robinson. He let me
read. He agrees with me.
No, he doesn't agree with you. He kind of agrees with me.
Oh.
He says he's a big fan of the 1998 version. He says it's got really good subplots. This version, it's got a border thumbs up. Mm-hmm. So kind of like me.
Kind of like me.
Up.
Right.
Yeah, like me too.
And I'll say it again. It doesn't have to be said anymore. A long story short, the 98 version is a good film because
I agree.
Jean Reno.
Yes.
Jean Reno. That's the reason.
He's disappointed with one thing that happened early on in this film.
But
I'm not going to say, but because that would spoil something. But I still think people should
see
it.
A lot of big
it.
Stuff coming up. But I was going to say when you're talking about Million Ways to Die in the West, looking forward to seeing Christopher Lloyd in that as well. So.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris, a lot of great guys in that one.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And, of course, Seth MacFarlane and... Family Guy, I think they've got one episode left of the season, right?
I believe so. Again, even though Family Guy is one of my favorite shows, I haven't watched a new episode in a couple of years. Just haven't had the chance, so.
Okay.
But I'll catch up at some point.
Okay, that's fair. Fair enough.
But so much coming out, you know, throughout the rest of the summer, because that's at the end of May. Obviously, next week we have X-Men Days of Future Past. I've never seen an X-Men film.
They're good.
Doesn't mean I wouldn't be into it.
Right.
But I just haven't had a chance. But, you know, coming June 13th is a big time because you have How to Train Your Dragon 2 and 22
Wait.
Jump Street.
Oh, I thought that was... I'm sorry. I saw that on someone's shirt last night.
Think Like a Man 2 comes out the week after that.
Kevin Hart. I am so done with Kevin Hart.
I'll never be
This is how you train
him.
Your dragon with an iron fist.
We got Transformers 4, Mark Wahlberg taking over in that at the end of June. We got in July, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It's just so much.
Yeah, and you know what?
Another Hercules sex tape with Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, I thought that was with Dave Isaac and Trisha Isaac.
It's absolutely
disgusting. Just great.
Well, what
what are you thinking
What's
of,
great about next week is our summer preview. So we're going to be previewing all these different movies and TV shows as well.
I'm so excited because then in August you have Guardians of the Galaxy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are back in the big screen.
Mm.
Let's Be Cops looks pretty funny. The Expendables 3, Sin City, finally the sequel,
that's a good one
to kill for. So A lot of great stuff going on.
And
this summer,
if you
want to, rest of the year.
And if you want to win tickets to this, you know, to all these movies, not only can you stay tuned to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480 AM, but you can also go to our Facebook page, go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, and that'll take you to the Facebook page and become a Facebook, what is it called? You like it, like us.
Yeah, like
we've
a Facebook
also,
fan.
Yeah, and you can also become our... people are calling me. Yeah, so you can also become our Facebook
official person.
Our Facebook, not our Facebook. You can also become a member of our fan base, and you can so you can get.
We'll give you more info.
We'll give you more information. So
Facebook.
Give us go to the Facebook page or send us an email at entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com.
And the other thing is, even after summertime, when we get into the fall season, it's interesting how many sequels are still coming out this year. Because out of some of the ones we've talked about, even more, we got Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yes.
You know, we've been waiting for that for years. Hunger Games, of course, Mockingjay Part 1. Horrible Bosses 2. Night at the Museum 3. You know, The Hobbit again, even though... never seen and don't have a desire, but Hot Tub Time Machine 2 on Christmas Day. How else would you want to see your Christmas or spend your Christmas than with Hot Tub Time Machine 2? It sounds phenomenal.
I think I should play Ultimate Spoons in the hot tub.
In the hot tub? Oh, okay.
Yeah, with the,
I still don't know this
with
game,
the
but I know
ladies
it involves
from bikinis,
cards, though.
Bikini and Beans.
Tell us a little about that, because you guys were talking about it, and
well,
I have no
there's,
idea.
There's a
play,
it's, I don't know.
Is it in Arizona?
Yeah, it's on 7th Street in Thomas. I don't know why I'm giving them, like, you know, a free shout-out, but yeah, it's a coffee shop where all the baristas.
All right, I finally got her on.
Absolutely.
She's actually answering the hotel front desk for them.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
She's on.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, actress Kelly Grayson. The movie is called Return to the Hiding Place. We told our listeners a little bit about it in the a few moments ago. But so tell us a little bit about your character.
All right. I play Lana, who is one of the resistance workers. So when the Nazis invaded Holland, there was a bunch of young people who essentially laid down their lives for people they didn't even know, rescuing Jews. And I don't know, some people are familiar with The Hiding Place, which is the Corrie Ten Boom story. So this is kind of the same story, but told from the perspective of the young people who did the resistance operation. So I got to play Lana, who was one of the characters who kind of broke the mold in her time in history, because during that era, you know, the women kind of did the inside stuff and the men kind of did the outside stuff. But she actually, you know, she did the raids with the guys. She would do the, you know, helping the Jews get here and there and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of cool. It's like the tomboy from the 40s.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. And, kind of a faith-based flick, right, in a way?
It is. That is the story of, they were people of faith, and that's why I think they fought that battle, and that's why they were motivated to protect people that they didn't even know was because of their faith.
Absolutely. And so it's a movie with a lot of meaning. And so, of course, it's got the entertainment value. But to tell our listeners, if there's one ultimate takeaway that you, especially after having seen the film or having played this part, what's the ultimate takeaway for viewers who see Return to the Hiding Place?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things. But I think one, it's so unbelievably inspiring to see a film, see people who believed in something that they were, you know, willing to live for. But even more than that, they're willing to die for it. And I think finding that place, you know, in your own life, just what is it that you believe and what anchors you and what are you willing to live, you know, and die for? And also to be that part of the 1% of the population. You know, there's a whole bunch of people who follow the crowd, but this very, very, very small percent actually were willing to make a stand and made a huge difference and a huge impact. And because of that, we're still telling their story today.
That's wonderful, wonderful. And Dave, do you have a, no? Okay, and I know there's another film that you appeared in. I think that it also is opening here, Alone Yet Not Alone, right?
Yes, yes. So, and actually, I would love to, you know, have everybody look at my website. It's kellygrayson.com, and just my name, KellyGrayson.com, and look at all the films I've been in, because hopefully I have 4 coming out this next year, and they're all really great projects that I was super excited to be a part of. But this one comes out, Return to the Hiding Place, on May 23rd. And then Alone Yet Not Alone comes out June 13th. So, and that one, yeah, another really great film. And it is about, it's set during the French and Indian War, and it's about a family who basically found themselves in, you know, the chaos that ensued from really bad decisions in government. So then you have the Indians and the pioneers at odds, and they were kidnapped by the Indians and taken away from their families as little girls and grew up in an Indian village, and then it's kind of their story of faith, hope, and survival.
Wow, wow. And so these are, I don't know the other two movies that that are coming out soon, but it sounds like you're picking movies with a lot of meaning. Is that something that you set out to do as an actress?
You know, I love to be a part of things that encourage people to think beyond themselves. You know, I think for me personally, I love being a part of just good productions, you know, mm-hmm. obviously. But so far, these opportunities have been that. And I love to be a part of things that make people think for themselves. So much of society is wrapped around, here's what we're telling you, just go do it and respond to whatever we're telling you. And I really think it's so important and critical for people to think for themselves. You know, why is it you believe what you do? What is it that you think about it? So anything that, you know, creates thinking, individual thinking, and also things that create values. There's so much that's lost in society, and I think any value-creating stories are really important to me. Also, you know, another thing is, you know, if you don't know history, then you're destined to make the same mistakes. So I think when you can learn from people's inspiring stories and lives, especially true stories from history, then, you know, you can learn from those and not have to make those same mistakes in your own life.
So, Kelly, not only do you have a passion for acting, but it's in a way that you're a teacher. You're taking roles that have good values and stories, so set the path for others to live a better life. And the other thing that is really interesting to me is that your ability to play in physical demanding roles, because you're very athletic, according to many things I've read about you.
I love that stuff. It's actually so much fun. I love doing my own stunts. And so I've been very grateful to be able to do that, you know, in a bunch of different roles. I always grew up doing anything athletic that you could throw at me. And I had a big brother, so, you know, I had to keep up. So it's been awesome to be able to do that in films, because I think there's an authenticity that you bring when you actually know how to do those things yourself. You know, it adds a physical element that's authentic. So far, I've been able to do, you know, horseback riding and running, and then I did some lacrosse in one of the films, and some water stunts, some cliff jumping. And I did, I think probably my favorite thing, though, was swords and daggers. I did swordplay, so that was fun to learn a whole new skill and be able to use that in a film. And that's To Have and to Hold, which hopefully comes out early next year.
That is so cool. On your website, I see a picture with you and a horse. Is that a horse that you own?
No, actually, that was a horse that is kind of a mutual friend of some friends. And they were actually these Andalusian stallions, and they're, like, I think they're kind of famous. Like, they've been in magazines and all that kind of thing. So I just was able to hang out with them for a little while.
Now, we have something in common. Just recently, I've gotten into more horse type activities.
Horseplay.
What,
just because you went to the Kentucky Derby, you're all into horses?
Yeah, exactly. I went to the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks back, awesome. And that was really fun. And also, we had a broadcast at the Arabian Horse Show here in Scottsdale, and they're really beautiful creatures, aren't they?
Oh, they're amazing. So amazing. I think I probably love them because it sort of embodies, I don't know, some of me, sort of that like wild and free part. You just feel like, you know, you feel like that when you get near them. You know, growing up, I used to just go out in the field, had a horse that I could ride whenever, and I would just go out there, jump on it, grab its mane, no saddle or bridle, anything, and just ride. So it was fun.
And I'm glad that Dave saw a picture, because I wanted to say, Kelly, you are just absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm grateful.
I'm going to add one thing.
Yeah?
You have a really sweet, pleasant voice, too. We really appreciate that about you as well.
Oh, well, you're so sweet. I literally have been running all over trying to get this landline, so I'm glad I'm not too winded. Like, sprinting up and down hotel hallways.
Oh, no, you sound great.
Well, we're very glad that we got you on the phone to talk about Return to the Hiding Place. As you said, it opens Friday, May 23rd here, and also Alone, Not Yet Not Alone, and you said that's on June
13th. And June 13th. Actually, if you'll go to SeatZ, it's just seat, like a theater seat, okay. seatz.com. And then you can click on those two films and buy tickets. And if it doesn't show in your city, if you'll click Bring It to My City, and if 10 people tell 10 of their friends who tell 10 of their friends, then you have enough to fill a theater. So then it'll come to your city. So that's kind of how that works.
Well,
I hope everybody gets to see all those films, because they're really amazing and inspiring messages.
Absolutely. And I think we can definitely accomplish that here in Phoenix. We can do the 10 friends. I think I've got 10
good
friends.
Good deal.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Kelly Grayson, for joining us. And everyone, go out and see Return to the Hiding Place. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right. Bye.
Wow, she's delightful.
Yeah, I've got to always work in that pitch, you know, that the actress is beautiful. She really is gorgeous.
Oh, tremendous.
I'll tell you, she was probably one of the most difficult people I've ever had to get online.
Well, it wasn't her fault, though. It was the
hotel.
Well, she called in on her cell phone, and then that wasn't, she didn't think that was going to be good enough. It sounded fine to me. So then she said, call me at this number. Didn't give me the room number, so I had to figure that out. And then she answers the phone, and she says, no, I don't want to talk on this phone. Call back in a minute. So when I called back, all the operators were busy. And then I kept calling. And like the third time I called, she actually answered the hotel phones.
Wow.
I love that. So she has a part-time job.
Yeah, I hope she's getting paid for that.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. Excellent. Well, again.
Very delightful.
Yes, very delightful.
And then while you're talking to her, the station phone rings, not the call-in lines, but the other phone.
Oh.
I run to answer it. It's her agent. And he's going, your call-in line doesn't work. Your call-in line doesn't work. He goes, my client's trying to call in. And I'm like, well, we have another person on the line right now. And he goes, who is it? And I go, Kelly Grayson. He goes, oh, that's my client.
It's not Kelly Grayson. It's Kelly Gray.
Grayson. No, my phone was ringing, but that was my cell phone. And when I'm...
What in the world are you looking at?
When my... What is Dave looking at?
I Googled the wrong... Okay.
Dave is corrupting that. Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Grayson.
Here.
You're right. Yeah, you're right, Eric.
That's not good.
It's Kelly Grayson, sorry.
No surfing porn on the station Wi-Fi.
Wow. Okay. Well, this segment has gone to I don't know where. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and play a song from Major League. This is U.S. Yep. Mail by Lonesome Romeos.
Lonesome Rodeo.
Like, I'm on the original Major League movie, Charlie Sheen.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
From Major League with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, with Charlie Sheen, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. The original was fantastic.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I like Anger Management, the TV show.
I like the movie. How about you?
I haven't seen it.
No, I don't care for the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson? You're kidding. Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler. No, thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. He's coming out with a movie with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not too excited.
We're not talking about that one.
He'll be a Godzilla type. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live.
Oh, yeah.
1480.
Woo!
AM. KPHX, that's Joseph Erdo, rocking out, doing twerking, on the table.
I'm doing the air guitar.
The air guitar, yeah, you are. Do it standing up, though.
Oh.
No, standing up.
Why not? People
yeah, there
know.
We go.
I was just going to fake it.
Wow, that looks interesting. Okay,
he's
and we'll be right
air
back.
Guitar and twerking.
Yeah, twerking, guitar, you name it. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm.
ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side.
Okay, Joseph, do you know this song? Hey, good whistling.
Don't whistle, Kathleen doesn't like it.
Oh, you don't like that song?
She doesn't like whistling?
Oh, really?
What movie is this from?
It's not music.
You know, which movie is this from?
I've been stuck in a daydream.
What movie is this from?
If I'm saying
Eric,
dreams.
Do you know?
I do now that I've read it.
If I'm saying dreams.
I have no idea. Feel the dreams?
Yes, feel the dreams.
Kevin, if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a good baseball movie, too. What's interesting is when we think of sports movies, when you think of baseball movies, Field of Dreams is good. Guys, I don't know if you're aware, but when a person's talking, for the listeners in there, they don't understand what in the world's going on.
Yes, love that.
So you don't want to sing. No, but when you look at the good baseball movies, because Major League, especially the original, was great. A lot of baseball, a lot of the movies they've made have actually been pretty good. That doesn't really happen with a lot of the different types of things.
I don't care for Field of Dreams. But
oh. You didn't like
Kevin
that?
Costner.
I'm what? Okay. I could leave it.
I wasn't that fond either of it. I like Draft Day, though.
Too much sports.
I thought, you don't like sports.
No.
You like entertainment.
The best part of Field of Dreams, and I did like the movie, but the funniest part, and maybe it wasn't supposed to be funny, is when they're at the baseball game with him and James Earl Jones. Uh-oh. And he's asking James Earl Jones, well, what do you want? And James Earl Jones goes over this whole spill of what he wants, and then it turns to the concession stand, and Kevin Costner goes, no, what do you want, like, to eat? So out of all that, now, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, you got to watch it to laugh at it. But
Godzilla.
Good.
Okay. Well, in addition to Godzilla and Million Dollar Arm, which I gave both thumbs
and
up to.
And so you like, Million Dollar Arm. So baseball movies are pretty good.
It is our baseball show here on Breakthrough Entertainment. But there's some other movies coming out, including Don Peyote.
Yes.
We're finally getting to this, so you kind of get that file ready. I got a chance to speak with...
I was born
with,
ready.
I bet. I got a chance to speak with actor Dan Fogler about this movie. A little earlier this week, and in it, Dan Fogler plays an unemployed stoner who suffers a midlife crisis over his upcoming wedding. Yes. Fueled by vivid apocalyptic dreams, he becomes obsessed with doomsday theories and decides to make a documentary on the subject while his fiance is busy planning their wedding. He also wrote and directed this movie.
Wow.
Did you know that Dan Fogler could write and direct?
I guess we do now.
I don't even know who he is.
You don't know who Dan Fogler is?
I don't know either.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah, you will when you see him.
Yeah,
I didn't know who Kelly Grayson was either.
But this is Dan Fogler, though.
This is Dan Fogler.
You know Dan Fogler.
You'll recognize his voice. So without further ado, let's listen to my interview with actor Dan Fogler about Don Peyote.
I am Breakthrough Entertainment film columnist Joseph J. Erdo, and today we are talking with actor Dan Fogler about his role in the new comedy Don Peyote, which he also wrote and directed. First of all, Dan, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
So this is the second feature film that you have written and directed, the first one being Hysterical Psycho. Where did this particular idea come from?
It came from a lot of my life experience, where I was at the time when I was making the movie. I was about to get married, and I was kind of stressing out about the future, and I think a lot of people were, and I wanted to capture that. In a movie, I thought it would be very, want to capture that energy, you know. And I really had this story that I wanted to tell, kind of like a modern street prophet journey, like a hero's journey, where I thought it would be interesting, like, if you had a guy, you know, the guy with the end is near sign, if you had someone just like a regular Joe Schmo, you know, like this guy named Warren Allman, he bumps into the guy with the end is near sign, and then he's like, what does that mean? Is the end coming? And And then he starts collecting all these interviews from wise men, trying to make a documentary about and trying to get to the, you know, the bottom of a lot of these questions. And he learns, you know, okay, maybe it's not ending, but, you know, maybe it's a change of consciousness is what a lot of people were talking about. And so then he would go down that rabbit hole. And then, you know, he gets so swept up in all of it. And even though everyone's telling him, you know, don't worry, he worries, and he gets swept up in the fear of not knowing what's coming, that he loses his mind, and he goes down the rabbit hole literally. And so the first part of the movie is, you know, it's very mockumentary style, with a touch of like Annie Hall, you know. And then the second half of the movie suddenly becomes like, you know, Alice in Wonderland, when he makes this shift into insanity. And then he emerges a changed man. He becomes Don Peyote. He becomes the guy with a version of the guy with the end is near sign, you know, except he's preaching, you know, embracing the change and love and peace, you know.
Yeah, you definitely took us to some interesting places. You have also got quite the cast in Don Peyote. I want to start with Josh Duhamel, with whom you starred in Scenic Route. Did you two just have so much fun working together on that film that he simply could not pass up the opportunity to do it again, with a similar haircut, no less?
Yeah, we were working together on that movie, and I was in the middle of shooting Don Peyote. I was basically shooting Don Peyote around my schedule. And so I met Josh, and I was like, holy crap, this guy is great. I love working with him. And we gotta use this mohawk, you know, in Don Peyote. It's too good. And he loved the idea. I said, let's create a character for you. And we based it on these guys who we met along the way, who were these guys that lived up in these trees and migrated for, you know, the winter. They would live like birds. They put hammocks up in trees, they lived in parks, and they lived off the grid, and they, you know, they were dumpster diving and stuff like that, and he loved that idea. And we created this, you know, the movie was very organic in the process of making it, so we thought this could be another person he meets along the way that gives Warren some knowledge, you know, some survival skills on his journey. And he was great. He played like this rock and roll freak. and he does this. I don't want to give it away, but he's a preacher of, you know, ayahuasca usage. There's all sorts of fun, interesting drug references in this movie, like Alice in Wonderland.
Very true. And what about your other cast members, like Jay Baruchel, Anne Hathaway, and Topher Grace? What brought them on board this relatively small passion project of sorts?
They're all friends. That's what happened. I befriended Josh, and Jay Baruchel was a friend since Fanboys. And Anne Hathaway, you know, she handed me my Tony Award, and she's more of an angel in my life. she's cool. I don't really hang out with her as much as Topher, but, you know, she agreed to do the movie because I think she really dug the idea of being able to, you know, help create her part. And I think that's what attracted a lot of people. They were able to put their stamp on it, you know. And Topher's a buddy of mine. We did Take Me Home Tonight. So these are all people that I worked with before, and they loved the idea of the movie, so they jumped on board. And that's how the movie was made. It was just, you know, favors and synchronicities and, you know, people knowing people and just offering up an opportunity for people to play, and we got a lot of gold that way.
Yes, you did. So at the end of the day, if viewers were to come away from watching Don Peyote with some sort of general theme, lesson, message, or idea, what do you hope that might be?
The message you take away is that we are actually much more powerful than we realize as individuals and as a whole species, and happiness is literally our choice in the moment. You can just choose to be happy. It's not out there in the world. And I think that a lot of people are scared, and they're worried, and you know, just like Star Wars, they kind of, that leads to the dark side of the Force. And if you don't worry, you can stay on the lighter side and really affect things for the better. Because if you worry about it, you just add to the chaos. That's the main message.
Terrific. Well, again, Dan Fogler, writer, director, and star of Don Peyote, thank you for taking the time to talk with Breakthrough Entertainment. We really do wish you the best of luck with the film's release.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Joseph, that was fantastic.
I liked it very much.
Did you record a different conversation and then add your questions in later?
No, he gave the answers and he had the questions later.
My voice sounded like it was on the phone. And so, yeah, I re-recorded my questions.
Right.
But I was
scripted them and then re-recorded them.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, may I ask you a question?
What? Did that take you a long time?
No, it was...
Joseph, you sound like one of the characters from Family Guy.
The next three pre-recorded interviews, just so you know, are exactly the same way. So you're going to be funny.
That's no, Joseph's way of humor.
I'll work on the... Yeah,
it was a great interview.
Humor. Thank
I'm
you very much.
You.
I will
kidding.
Work on the trying to
You're
be a little
kidding.
More...
You're no, a film columnist, for God's sakes. I know.
It was good. I liked it.
Solid stuff. Joseph,
you are a cool dude.
Thank you very much. And it was nice to talk with Dan Fogler about his film,
I knew
Don Peyote.
You had mentioned that the audio would be different, but I didn't realize you went with that. But it was funny, though.
Beautiful.
Yes.
No, it wasn't funny. It was lovely.
Nice. All right,
well, thank you very much.
All right.
Well, in the meantime, we've got a lot more here on Breakthrough Entertainment's baseball show. But in the meantime, let's play from A League of Their Own, All-American Girls Professional Baseball League song.
Eric, this is one of my favorite movies, A League of Their Own. I'm not kidding you.
They've wanted to play in that league.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they let you?
I was. John Lovitz was in that. Eric, you like that movie, right?
We're one for all.
Yes, I did. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, and you liked it, Joseph?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
You've never seen it?
You like it, right?
I love it.
Yeah, we love it. We love
okay.
it.
Okay.
Why haven't you seen A League of Their Own? Tom
I don't
Hanks.
Like baseball.
Phenomenal
Come
movie.
Come on, now. No, but this is... But
a true story.
Even if you don't like baseball, this is one you'd like. It's
okay.
funny.
Yeah.
It's a good
I'll
story.
See.
And absolutely.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment, week. KPHX, 1480 AM. We'll
don't
be right
sound
back.
So excited.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.